October 12, 1931. Incessant breath of God. Divine life and fulfilled act of God in the creature. The facsimiles, the people, the princes, the noble court, and the royal army of the celestial kingdom. I feel the omnipotent force of the divine fiat that invests the whole of me, absorbs me and transforms me into its light. This light is love, and it makes the life of my Creator palpitate within me. This light is Word, and it gives me the most beautiful news of the beginning of my existence, the relations, the bonds of union, the communicating virtue, the inseparability that exists still now between me and God. But who maintains all this in full force if not the divine will? Oh, power of the supreme fiat, prostrate in the immensity of your light, I adore you profoundly, and my little nothing, loving you, dissolves within you. But while I was thinking of this, my sweet Jesus told me, my good daughter, only my will maintains and preserves is intact, with a continuous act, the beginning of the creation of the creature. Our Supreme Being gave the beginning and animated her life with the power of our divine breath. This breath was never to be broken. More so, since when we give and do an act, we never withdraw it, and this serves to form fulfilled works of the being that we issue to the light. While this first act of ours serves to give the beginning and form the life, the continuation serves to make of the creature a fulfilled act of ours. And as we breathe upon her, so we form in her our continuous acts in order to complete our divine life. Our breath, as we give it, forms, sip by sip, the growth of this life of ours in the creature. Our breath, as it gives itself, forms our fulfilled act of sanctity, of beauty, of love, of goodness, and so forth. And when we have filled her so much, in a way that we have no more space in which to put off our act in the creature, because she is limited, our breath ceases and ends its life on earth. And in order to eternalize our breath in heaven, we transport our life, formed in her, our fulfilled act, into our celestial fatherland as triumph of our creation. There's no rarity more beautiful than these lives and fulfilled acts of ours in the celestial dwelling. They are the narrators of our power, of the ardor of our love. They are speaking voices of our omnipotent breath, that alone could form the divine life, our fulfilled act in the creature. But do you know where we can form this life and this fulfilled act of ours? As much as it is possible and imaginable for a creature to receive from her Creator? In the soul who lives in our divine will and lets herself be dominated by it. Ah! Only in her can we form the divine life and carry out our fulfilled act. Our will disposes the creature to receive all the divine qualities and colors. And our breath, never interrupted, as most skillful brush, paints with admirable and inimitable mastery the most beautiful shades, and forms the facsimiles of our Supreme Being. If it were not for these facsimiles, the work of creation would have been nothing great, nor a great work of the power of our creative hands. To create the sun, the heavens, the stars and the whole universe would have been an absolute nothing for our power. But, instead, all of our power, the art of our divine arts, the indescribable excess of our intense love, is to do our fulfilled act in the creature, by forming our life in her. And our satisfaction is so great, that we ourselves remain enraptured in our act that we carry out. For us, to do a fulfilled act is the greatest glory that most glorifies us, it is the most intense love that most sings our praises, it is the power that extols us continuously. But alas! For those who do not live in our will, how many of our acts broken, without fulfillment? How many of our divine lives only conceived or, at most, born without growing? They break the continuation of our work and bind our arms, unable to go forward. They put us in the impotence of a master who has his land, and is prevented by his ungrateful servants from doing the work that is needed in his land, from sowing it, from planting the plants that he wants. Poor master, keeping the land sterile, without the fruit that he could receive, because of his iniquitous servants. Our land is the creature's, and the ungrateful servant is the human will, that, opposing our own, puts us in the impotence of forming our divine life in them. Now, you must know that in heaven one does not enter if he does not possess our divine life, either conceived at least, or born. And for as much growth as each blessed is formed of our life within himself, such will be his glory, his beatitude. Now, what will be the difference between one in whom it was only conceived, born or grown in small proportion, and one who has let us form fulfilled life? The difference will be so great as to be incomprehensible to the human creature. The first will be like the people of the celestial kingdom, while our facsimiles will be like princes, ministers, the noble court, the royal army of the great king. Therefore, one who does my divine will and lives in it can say, I do everything, and I belong, even from this earth, to the family of my celestial father. Fiat.